This is the Riot Act Super 14 Rugby Review.
And good evening and welcome to the Riot Act Rugby Review podcast number 9. It is the 3rd of April. No April Fool's jokes here, other than us. Another round of Super 14 out of the way, complete. And I tipped 6 from 6, unlike the rest of you.
Yeah, I got 2 from 6. Well, I suck. Don't follow my tips this week, because I'll probably get them wrong again.
You're still in front, Timber. And for me, Rob, I've got 5 this week. Or 4, sorry.
A couple of close games went against my calls. And I knew I was tipping close ones today.
Now, the first game we're going to cover is Blues 30, Bulls 17 in Auckland. Was it as close as the scoreline suggests it might have been?
Nah, the Blues flogged them.
Yep.
Basically, the Bulls tried to muscle them up front and just couldn't do it. Whether that was the extra travel, second week on the road with them, but you know, just couldn't. Tried to outmuscle the Blues and couldn't do it. Mm. Big games in the centres from Rua Tupoki again. Troy Flavell is again impressive.
Strength to strength
For the Blues, and you know they just couldn't do it. The Bulls suffered a lot of injuries in this game, which will be quite telling for them. Most of them, I think, they'll get back for this coming week, but Derek Hougaard, possibly out for an extended period.
That's going to test them, isn't it?
It really will.
Hougaard missed 4 from 6. He only got 2 of his kicks on the night. You've got to think he doesn't travel very well then, because first game out of South Africa.
Second game.
Is it there's some Mr. Biltong, do you think?
Don't know what it is, but they certainly didn't travel well. And the Blues, to their credit, shut them down. Played the game that they wanted to play. It was a case of the small, quick guys running around the big Afrikaner farmers.
Yeah. Now, do we need to start taking the Blues seriously, or can we still view them as?
I think you actually do need to taking the Blues seriously. I was having a look at the remaining draws.
Not this season, they might.
Even this season, I was having a look at the remaining draws and. The top teams, Crusaders, Waratahs, Brumbies, Hurricanes, still have to play each other. But the Blues, you would think, have a pretty easy run to come. And so they, could sneak in with a couple of bonus points, particularly as they seem to be starting to play much better.
Okay, the Blues have won 3 of their games. They'd have to, of 7, they'd have to win the next 6 bonus points.
Yeah, with bonus points, and
I reckon the Blues are out of it this season. They could be giant killers. I got no problem.
I was going to say, I'm
thinking of it as well. As I said, the top teams still have to play each other. The Brumbies are only on 23 points.
We're coming into the second half of the season. Now's when you start looking for semi-finals positions. You're no longer just.
Yeah, I was hoping they could sneak into that 4th spot.
Well, I think
there are a lot of teams contending for that. The Blues. The Highlanders, the Cheetahs, surprisingly, even the Sharks are in a good position to make that leap into that 4th spot. And the Brumbies don't have a stranglehold on at the moment. They're only 4 points clear, and they've got some tough games in the head.
Yeah, they have got the bye out of the way at least, which the other teams will have to come.
That's right.
So let's move on. Waratahs 26, Cheetahs 3.
Now, what was your comment before, Tim? The most boring game?
Yeah, I didn't actually watch the whole game.
Boring as hell.
Yeah, it was really dull. I mean,
is this why Greg Crowden's whinging about Super 14 strangling the life out of his beloved clubs again?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Biggest whinge is the supposed injuries the Cheetahs players had all over the
pitch. The Cheetahs in this case played quite a cynical game. Just about every breakdown of play, there was a Cheetahs player sitting on the ground wasting time. What we assume is wasting time. Trainer would run out, give them the magic spray, and up they go and kept going.
I don't think any Australian team could afford to throw that allegation around, given how cynical our players are.
We're pretty good at it at times. The Waratahs still came away with the win, 26-3.
Let's face it, it was.
So the Cheetahs' tactic didn't work.
No.
Well, it was 12-3. The Waratahs were only in front due to their kicking, 4 penalties to Hewitt. versus one to the Cheetahs, when only in the last 20 minutes they managed to run in two tries.
Yeah, but the trouble with the Cheetahs' game plan of having all those injuries and breathers is that it meant the Waratahs were
still only 9 points in front. If they could have gotten over one try, and possibly another penalty after that.
Yeah. Well, look, I think teams are wise to play whatever tactic they believe is going to win them the game. This instance 26-3. Okay, and the Waratahs came out in front, but it was actually the tactic was working for them. You play it where you play it how you see the game. Mm. This is not a game that the Cheetahs were expected to win, it was almost expected to be another Cats Waratahs margin. Of 50
they kept
points.
They kept the points down.
Kept the points down.
With a lucky turnover, they could have been somewhere in it. And McKenzie was complaining that it wasn't an entertaining game, and that's what people come to see. Well, realistically a game about winning, and that's what the Cheetahs were trying to do. They were trying to some not cricket tactics. But
yeah, as a fan, I can do with maybe one spectacular loss for a season, and after that I just want to see a win. The Waratahs fans are still due their spectacular loss. Hopefully we can give that to them Easter weekend. Anything else you want to say about that game, fellas?
No, Helen Gahu has been a real find for them at fly half. Earlier in the season they were looking left, right, and centre for this magic fix, and their number 10 jersey. They picked up Sam Two Dads in the off season as a possible fix.
Now Tim Donnelly's never going to make it.
Tim Donnelly, Sean Byrne, of course, is now going overseas. But Helen Gahu, who's just re-signed with the Waratahs, it looks to be a real find, and a good distributor of the ball in the absence of Matt Rogers.
Yeah. Well, I think the way the game's changed and that inside centres have to be able to play a second fly half role does mean that there are more young players coming through with that distribution, even if they don't have the kicking game of a traditional fly half.
Yeah.
So. Right, that's good then. Now, Western Force 25, Stormers 26.
Disappointing game.
So close.
What a cracking game this was. Yeah. And I'm really disappointed for the Force because they really deserve to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
The Stormers probably did too, but the Force came out really strong. Picked up a converted try in the first 2 minutes of the game.
What's going on?
It was really, no, they were actually very, very impressive. The change in their centres, having James Hilgendorf move into the fly half position.
Dropping Henjack from halfback.
Putting Henjack on the bench, and Cameron Shepherd, another good game, and Scott Staniforth at inside centre. Those three guys have really stood up and made some incredibly impressive plays and really have the Force backline working as a cohesive unit for a change.
Yep.
Little disappointed in the Force pack this game, where they've been quite dominant in previous matches.
Yeah, they were against one of the flashiest South African outfits. Yeah, and they had some players back the Stormers, didn't they?
They did. Luke Andrews for the Stormers was the real difference. He was at number 6. He was the guy who managed to carry the ball forward, score two tries, including the late one, which sealed the victory for them.
The late try that came from a infringement by the replacement Force prop is out in the field.
David Fitter.
Out in the field, tried to a little bit hard and give it away a nice
penalty. Actually, for me, there was two.
Did Henjack get on the pitch?
He did get on the pitch.
Did he give away too many points?
I was about to say that I thought that was one of the turning points for the Force.
Stormers came back then, didn't they?
He came on and very quickly the Force started going backwards. He took a couple of bad options that was picked up by the commentary team it was quite a strong breeze, and when you've got Henjack passing back 15 to 20 metres to someone who's kicking from their own, from inside the 22, and then you're getting 10 metres further on, well, you're better off keeping the ball in hand and running it. And that was the difference between Chris O'Young, who started the match and played probably a good 55 minutes of it, and when Henjack came on, I thought some of his options weren't as good as Chris O'Young's, and I think we'll see Chris O'Young starting again this coming week.
So what next for Henjack? Do you think he needs some time in Europe to mature as a player?
I don't know. I just don't see him taking the right options.
I think he spent too long sitting on the bench in Canberra.
Well, you would have thought, even sitting on the bench, you'd learn something from some of the players around you. Chris O'Young was very, very impressive.
Yeah.
Ran the ball well, took little sniping options, distributed the ball really crisply.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaned it out, well, even made a couple of decent tackles. Mm-hmm. You don't always expect from a little guy.
It's always good when they put them on, though.
That's right. It's always great when they put them on, particularly against a big unit, you know, big pack like the Storm Sack.
Mm.
Shall we go to a song from there, boys?
I think we shall. Will you
Screeching Weasel with Get Off My Back. Well, the next game, Hurricanes versus Crusaders.
Hurricanes now, Richie McCaw apparently did a terrible thing and got him punched for being too good.
Hurricanes went down 11-22.
Damn them! I tipped the Hurricanes.
Yeah. So what happened to McCaw? What's the problem?
Look, this is an issue that's come up before with McCaw's play, and in fact, any number seven you can care to name.
He's good.
They push the boundaries of the game really well. They get in there, they get in every breakdown, they get their hands in the way and try and slow down the opposing team's, you know, ball.
Mm.
So that they can get defensive line set. Richie McCaw is very, very good at it. That's why he's considered one of, if not the premier number seven in world rugby today.
Mm.
The fact he got punched in the head by Tialata and throttled. that could just be the fact that, you know, these guys are trying to get the ball out to...
Bit of frustration for the player on the ground.
Trying to get it out, and, you know, there's a guy lying on top of them who's fucking around with the ball, you're saying, get off me, bitch.
Mm. But that's what the rucking's for, isn't it?
Well, you know, when you're a big Maori prop and you've got this little white dude lying on top of you.
He's not that little, Richie
McCaw. Well, you know, compared to...
Yeah.
I
was going to say, it takes a very big man to do the, you know, Bart and Homer routine. Yeah, hands around the throat.
Well, listen, since it wasn't a very big man. Yeah. So
Richie McCaw's got the hair for it, I guess.
Yeah. And you just get frustrated if he keeps doing it every time that you go to ground and whatnot. You know, those props are getting on the ground fairly often and trying to put the ball back to the halfback, and you've got the guy constantly spoiling, you might get a bit frustrated with it. Mm. That's what's happened here. Mm. I think it's quite admirable that in this case both teams have said, well, stay, you know, that happened on the field, let's leave it on the field, and there's been no further action.
I still don't like the inconsistency in the systems that, in this case, because they're all New Zealand teams that don't want to cause further inconvenience. They've already played each other. I don't think it should be up to the teams to make that decision. I think that
it should be an independent judiciary.
Yeah.
And Paul Honas, the referee, whereabouts he's in New Zealand, is he? Or
I think he is.
Yes, he must be.
So, and number of infringements during the game, and they continued throughout the game, and yet nothing was actually done. He pulled up Richard McCaw and other players for these infringements during the game, but nothing further was done about it. No yellow cards, no professional fouls.
Look, I mean, you've got to say that the referees are appointed by an international body. Okay.
Yeah.
They are there to do a job. You know,
They
call it how they see it. Mm. You know, if these referees don't perform on the field,
they're not going to be reappointed. And they were calling it. They just weren't taking the next step, saying, what you're doing is disadvantaging the other team, and you're doing it deliberately, which is a yellow card, because if they're doing it eight times in a row...
Look, we've seen that in Australian games as well.
If they're doing it eight times in a row,
you leave it up to the guy on the pitch. He calls it how he sees it. If he thinks it's serious enough to warrant a yellow card, there you go. It's off.
I just don't think...
McCaw says, you do this again, Richie, and you're off the pitch. You know, we're going to give you a yellow card. And, Richie doesn't do it again. Or does the court do it again? Yeah. That's the difference.
And when did the punch come, before or after that?
That was before.
I still don't like the idea that the teams, because of course it's the team's benefit to ensure that the rest of their opponents during the round are against the best possible of their opponent's team once the game's done. From the Hurricanes' point of view, they want the best possible Crusaders team out on the pitch, knocking other teams off.
That's right.
I don't like it being left up to their discretion. I think there should be an independent sighting.
About the game, what else do we think about it?
Well, I'd like to say I predicted that Crusaders total rugby would overwhelm the flash kits of the Hurricanes, and
it did. Yeah. But it was very, very Crusaders flash kits.
That's the total rugby.
Rory Flynn surprisingly acting as another loose forward.
So when I say total rugby, I mean real total rugby, where the team plays as a proper team, not every player trying to do everything.
Yeah, well, I could name half a dozen players on the Crusaders, and he could sort of write the rest off as doing nothing.
Yeah.
Daniel Carter had a quiet game, a couple of conversions that probably made a difference.
Daniel Carter, he's pegging the ball out wide to Rico Gear. He's done his job, isn't he?
Yeah, and surprise, I mean, I didn't watch the whole game, but, no mention of Leon McDonald. The thing about the Crusaders is that even if their guys are having a quiet game, a Rico Gear or a Daniel Carter's having a quiet game, then you've got a Leon McDonald who steps up and has an awesome one.
That's what champion teams need.
They're very impressive teams.
Champion teams need a dozen players with the X factor to stay a champion team.
That's right.
So that if four or five guys are having a bad night,
If Ruben Thorne goes, the Crusaders will fall apart. Mm. He's the glue.
Every team's got to have a glue player.
Look, Hurricanes on the other hand, I've been really impressed with Jason Eaton, and again had a cracking game. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him in an All Blacks jersey this year.
Do you think we'll see Ruben Thorne back in the All Blacks?
Nope.
They just don't look backwards. They've got so much talent. They don't
really well, know. You know, they've got so many fantastic loose forwards. Who do you put in?
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't have a Jerry Collins, who's incredibly respected and then up number six jersey, then you've got a Jono Gibbs, tough as nails, except this week he's off injured again.
Yeah. But he breaks a lot forever ahead, man, doesn't he?
But, incredibly gifted player. Yeah. Then you've got, look at Troy Favelle, come back from Japan and, doing exceptional things.
Yeah.
And then where do you find room for Ruben Thorne? You don't. Mm.
Yeah. You wouldn't keep him on the bench?
All right, next then. Game, Chiefs 16 over the Highlanders 13.
Bit of a surprise here.
Hamilton.
No, this is what I did pick. I did tip it, but I'm a little surprised. The Highlanders, the wheels seem to be falling off. They play better in South Africa.
I think everybody's seen about the Highlanders. They're just not clicking this season. They don't have the defensive capability that they've shown in past years. They don't have the attacking capability.
Good of Anton Oliver dropping the ball. Anton. Sorry, mate, you're out.
Anton is one of the stupidest men in world rugby, though, and can be relied on to do something silly.
Is Nick Evans back for the Highlanders?
No idea.
If he's not, that's what they're missing.
Yeah.
Okay. He was really winning the games early on, in the same way that Steve Larkham does for the Brumbies, and distributing the ball well. Chiefs through their fast men. And they see Mills at outside centre this week.
Chiefs have always had a cracking back three, though, and it's something that they haven't at times struggled to unleash properly.
Yeah. Jimmy Goffith this week, a little disappointing compared to previous weeks, but amply made up for by the quality of their outside backs. Not much else to say about this one.
Yep. Highlanders forwards.
Maybe they got bored. It was in Hamilton.
Yeah, the Cowtown has done it again.
That's right, that's what it is.
The more exciting the town, the better the visitors do.
Could be.
Explain what's happened to Sydney, I guess. Anyway, last match of the round in Durban, Sharks 36, Reds 28.
Poor old Reds.
Turning point for this match, Sam Cordingley going off injured.
Yep. How bad's the injury?
He's been sent home, as has Stephen Moore, who's also injured. They won't be completing the tour of South Africa, so... big blow for the Reds.
Yeah, Beric Barnes back in scoring.
Beric Barnes had a great. He looked fucking buggered, so obviously he hasn't run that far in a long time.
Well, it's a trouble when you're coming back from injury.
It was interesting actually. There was a point there where Peter Hines got sent off, and rightly so. The Reds were just committing infringement after infringement.
It's always been their game, hasn't it?
And he got sent off for it.
Yellow card or red?
It was a yellow card.
Yeah.
And that was probably the difference between the two teams. I think the Sharks scored two tries at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of action from the Sharks' backs, so basically all put through the forwards. Mm. But, yeah, look, Ben Tune, another really good game from him.
Mm-hmm.
Playing out wide, made a number of breaks that the Sharks just couldn't counter. The interesting thing that I did note at one point during the match was a truck and trailer by the Sharks.
Yeah.
Okay. You've seen how dominant the Mauls have been this season so far.
Mm. Mauling is a good...
Fantastic tactic.
It's a great part of the game as well. The Sydney media sometimes get upset. They say, oh, you can't do that in rugby league. What are you doing that?
No, this was surprising. I'm surprising. I'm amazed that other teams haven't tried it, particularly off a line out. Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't close to line. I think it was just between just outside the... Mm-hmm. The Reds 22.
Yep.
Line out, Sharks went up for the, picked up the ball uncontested, brought it straight down, went into the set them all up, and all the Reds players in the line out just backed away. Fucking trailer. See you later. Reds ball. Fantastic. I've never seen it done before.
But the Reds backed away to create the
Reds.
So it's like the old Arsenal offside trap.
They didn't contest the line out. Normally, this season we've seen teams. When they're not contesting the line out and know the opposing team's going to set up for the rolling ball.
Because they can't bind before contact.
They get in early, and a lot of teams have been penalised for going in too early and taking the player as trying to dismantle.
Yeah, for the Brumbies a couple of times.
But the Reds tried something different, and they only tried it once in the entire match. Mm. Basically, AJ Venter stood up and gone, oh, there's no players there, what's going on? And the ball was set.
Yeah.
They started moving forward, no Reds players in contact. Yeah. Penalty the Reds, thanks very much.
It also takes
an awake referee to pick that one up, though.
Oh, no, it was
it would have been obvious. And,
the referees have been pretty good with the truck and trailer obstruction, but this was very, very clever play by the Reds, and I'm surprised that other teams haven't picked it up.
I think we might see it a little more in this round.
Oh, it was priceless. It really was. It was just like, line out, set them all, Reds all just back away and set their defensive line. It's pretty.
And that then requires the attacking players to think very fast on their feet.
That's right, and more often than not, they're not doing it because they're all setting for the ball.
Yeah,
concentrating on the ball and what their position is.
If Phil Kearns is listening, not that you are, but perhaps that's one for you, Grundle's greatest mauls and scrums. So. Mm.
Okay. Yeah. All right, then we're going to go to a song, and we'll be back with the beer review and the round ahead.
Yeah.
right, that was Dillinger Four with their song Noble Stabbings, complete with exclamation marks, courtesy of John.
Now, the beer review. We are drinking Tuborg Pilsner. Genuine quality, they say. That's interesting. Genuine quality can really leave an awful lot of room for manoeuvre, can't
it? Well, you know, it is made with water, malt and hops, apparently.
Room for water, malt and hops.
I see.
What more would you want from a beer?
How much did the six-pack cost?
This was only $13.50 from Liquorland.
That's reasonably
cheap. Which is quite reasonable, mm-hmm. I thought. My wife picked out this one this week. She's not a beer drinker, obviously.
Now, it's only 330-millilitre bottles.
Yep, but 1.2 standard drinks.
Yeah, and so only 4.6 alcohol per volume. So it's a short bottle, they're not that strong.
Certainly not for a Danish beer, I wouldn't have thought, or for a European-style beer.
Yeah.
I mean, most come in at, like, you know, light wines.
They go up to 8%. Yeah. It's inoffensive. It's quite pleasant on the tongue. On a hot day, I reckon it'd be great.
Well, as opposed to a cold winter's evening.
Well, it's almost winter. It's reasonably warm in here in the pod.
Well, I don't think it's too bad. I don't think it's one I'd buy again, but
It's hopsy. It's very clear. It's a good beer. But
yeah, like Pilsner.
Tuborg, VB of Europe.
There are so many VBs of Europe. Personally, I think Heineken's the VB of Europe.
Mm. I've always bought Heineken.
Yeah. No, Heineken's the VB of the world.
Yeah.
They are the biggest exporters of...
Yeah. Anyway, Tuborg. Not bad, worth a try, especially if you can get a decent price.
Yeah, funky ass crown on it, which I'm not sure. Royal Danish Court, there you go. So this is by appointment by our Mary.
Is it? I think we have to talk with Mary about the beer she's appointing.
I'm sure it was Queen Margaret that did the appointing. Moving back to rugby, who's the makeup of the finals? Let's reevaluate. You think
into the second half of the season?
Yeah, you think the top three is locked in stone?
Top three is pretty much locked in stone.
No, I don't think it's locked in stone. I think there's still some. The Hurricanes could fall out, but. Yeah, as we're saying, it's the number four spot that's going to be.
So, look, let's Crusaders, let's Tars, say, then Hurricanes. Is that what we're saying?
Top two are definitely Crusaders and Tars.
Yeah.
Okay. I think any team are going to be hard pressed to knock those two off. They've been by far the two most consistent and dominant teams that we've seen this season.
Steady, they're not making big mistakes, and not, other teams aren't scoring much.
No,
against
I mean, that's probably been a hallmark of their games. Neither team is conceding a lot of penalties.
Yeah. So discipline play, discipline, good forwards, discipline, good defence, yeah, and they're scoring tries.
And being able to capitalise on the opponent's
good
mistakes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's strong across the board. Mm. Yeah. You know, you can't say this is what they're doing significantly better than everything else.
Okay, moving down, you think the Hurricanes are likely but a little shaky in threat?
Yeah, they started the season really well, but I think it's because they picked up a couple of easy games.
They've got the Brumbies at home in their future.
Well, they do, but Brumbies can upset them.
I still think
they haven't played. They haven't played the Brumbies.
They're not
played
playing
the Chars.
Strong enough. They're playing dirty rugby that disgraces them through in the end of the last 20 minutes. Yes, they are winning, but I don't think it's consistent enough to say hand on your heart they're going to come in third.
You think they might drop out?
I think it's possible. I'm not saying it will happen, but
they're
on
28 points. That are sort of, if you look at fourth position, and Brumbies on 23, and the next closest team is on 19. So they're still
a long way in front.
Two games clear of dropping out of the final.
If you reckon the Blues can make it, I reckon the Blues.
I know. I'm not saying the Blues can make it into the final four. I'm not saying the Blues can make it into third.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, if one thing can happen, so can the other.
I mean, but let's face it. There are six games.
Six games
to go of the season, and look, any team can make it, and any team can drop out.
And it's round 9 coming up.
Yeah,
so
round
10, 14. 11, 12. Oh, 14, of course. Sorry. 14. Thinking 12. There we go.
There's a few more games.
There's an awful lot of points still to be scored.
I think the Brumbies, the Brumbies are really going to have to pick up a game.
The Brumbies are going to have to beat the Waratahs in Sydney to make the finals.
They're either going to beat the Crusaders or the Waratahs. And they haven't got the Hurricanes yet either, have they?
Hurricanes are playing in Canberra.
Okay. So, they're going to have to beat two of those three teams.
We don't have a good run home.
Finals contenders.
We don't have a good run home. We've got a lot of home games in that run home.
Yeah, well, let's hope that the crowd gets them through. crowd's been pretty quiet at this season.
And well, the boring nature of Canberra.
I've got to say, the idea of daytime games. Can we somehow get it through to the Brumbies rugby?
It's not the Brumbies.
Daytime games do not work.
They know they don't work, but they have to have one a season so that it fills out the TV schedule.
The crowds are down. The numbers are down. The crowd is quiet. It wasn't on a Sunday again this year. Oh, that was just really stupid. The only Sunday game we got this year is Easter Sunday, which
in Sydney.
That's okay.
At least we've got a holiday the next day. I'm very hesitant to recover.
Yeah. Are you coming up for that? Oh well. Anyway,
I think the Brumbies at this stage really need to pick up their act to make it the final.
Forwards have got to stand up, don't they?
Forwards have to stand up. Yeah, they've got a lot of teams knocking on their doorstep.
I think they've got it in them.
And really contesting for that fourth position.
Who else do you think is likely in that fourth position?
After seeing the Cheetahs play the Tars the other day, maybe. Only because they'll try different things. They're certainly not, finals as in top two contenders.
Yeah. Who about the Bulls? They've dropped too many home games?
Bulls probably dropped too many home games. They got a long run on the road, and with a few injuries at the start of that, I don't see them making the top four, which is a shame.
Yeah.
Highlanders, I don't see them getting through either.
If the Highlanders start playing like they did at the start of the season, then
They've got to get Nick Evans
back. To my mind, I think the team probably could make it is the Chiefs again. They've made it twice so far.
The Sharks have a good run at home to come. Mm-hmm. And they're
The Reds took it close, for God's sake.
I don't know, but yeah, the Sharks still won. The Sharks have a good chance. And the Blues, again, the Sharks and the Blues have two easy runs, relatively easy runs home.
Yep. Okay.
I don't see the Force making it, strangely enough.
Yeah. Okay.
As they only have one competition point at this point.
That's a good competition point, mate.
Well, that could have been
an awful lot of work for just the one point.
It should have been four.
Even five. Yeah. Anyway, then we're going to go for a song, and we'll be back with the tips. And that was the Touch-Ups with their song, French Moustache. Now then, Rob, tell us how we're doing.
After week 8, I'm on 33 points. John's on 32, after pulling in a big 6 points on last week's tips. Timbo has only picked up 2 points last week, so he's falling back into the fold. And
I think we should have bonus points for the leader every round.
Bonus points for
the leader. So he's on 35. Katina only picked up 3, so she's on 31. So it's becoming a bit closer again, so we're slowly reeling Timbo.
Right, I'm going to have to stop tipping long shots.
Keep going.
To be fair, I did tip a lot of, the tips went, against me by 1 or 2 points this week.
Okay, now looking forward, first game on my sheet, Crusaders versus Waratahs in Christchurch.
If there was a game this season, it was a must-watch, even for a Brumbies fan, this is the one.
Yep.
This is going to be an absolute cracker of a match. Two teams, uncompromising, no mistakes.
Now, as a Brumbies fan, we really want Indra's to be the winner on the day, don't
Oh,
we?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, Ben Robinson's already out for the Waratahs, so Pie Boy Darning will be back on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I can see him getting smashed all around by the Crusaders pack.
Do you think Greg Somerville will eat him for breakfast, eh?
Cover him in sauce.
What'll be interesting is to see just how long McKenzie can persist with Matt Dunning in this encounter, I think.
Yeah, he certainly hasn't failed him after Ben Robinson's come to prominence early in the season.
And Matt Rogers is a possibility for the game. He's still out injured at the moment.
But I hope he plays with an injury and makes it worse.
But this is the problem with, making predictions on a Monday night. You know? Yeah. We don't even know what injuries have happened in the last round, let alone what's going to play for the rest of the game, you know, later in the week. I still fancy
the... Any Crusaders injuries that we know of? They've had easy game against the Cats where they rested half their top players.
I think
last week
we should test the entire Crusaders team for steroids or something.
Because they don't get injured that much.
They don't get injured. They play bloody well. They suck.
They've got so much depth in their team that Daniel Carter's injured, no problem.
I don't know who plays when Daniel Carter's injured. They put Leon McDonald in there or something, don't they?
Yeah, they've got so much depth in their squad. You just don't notice the injuries the way you do with other teams.
Well, I think they've got no standout. No, I've got a Katina has gone to win the game kind of players. Yeah. That's what the thing is.
Katina's gone the Tars. Good so God. Boo hiss to her.
Yay! Does she know what she's doing?
No, I'm going to tip the Tars as well. I fancy the Tars here.
No, bullets to that. Crusaders are rock solid and reliable, and they will.
No, my reason for tipping the Tars is the Crusaders have been winning games on their opponents' mistakes.
Yeah.
And the Tars have worked, you know, all season on saying we're not going to be mistaken.
The Crusaders make the mistakes happen, though.
It'll be interesting.
I'm going to split it 2-2 because I'm going to go to the Crusaders as well.
Bye, boy, Dunning, to smash Richie McCaw.
Throttle him, eh?
Oh, no, it could be a Wycliffe Parlay job.
Wycliffe Parlay, I could see him doing it. All right, Highlanders versus the Force.
In Dunedin, the House of Pain.
Anybody want to pick the Force?
I do.
Come on, Jimbo.
I can't.
The Force are coming good. The Highlanders are a bit flat.
They are. It's true.
I'm still going to go to the Highlanders.
John Boy's going to the Highlanders.
I'm sorry. I can only tip the Force again against the...
Timbo's going the Force.
Oh, there's no history here, though, is there? You know, it's not like the Force of Pain and the House of Pain. They don't know what it is.
They don't have a history of never winning at the House of Pain.
These are all young blokes who haven't played in the House of Pain.
They're unscarred, you reckon?
They're unscarred.
I don't know what it's like. Well, it's probably getting cold over there by now. These Perth boys probably don't know what that feels like.
Who are you going with?
Katina's going the Highlanders.
Nah, fuck it. Let's have the Force. Go the Force!
Okay, Timbo's going the Force.
Oh, shit. What am I doing?
Alrighty then.
Highlanders on the slide. If Nick Evans is back, I'm screwed.
Now, the Chiefs versus the Bulls in Cowtown. You've got to go with the Chiefs.
Chiefs. Chiefs all the way.
If the South Africans don't have racy nightclubs to go to.
Let's look at it. No injuries for cricketers to be. No injuries for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And a few key ones.
Hugard out.
Hugard, Gary Boter for the Bulls.
Well, who are you tipping anyway?
Katina's gone the Bulls.
What are you saying, mate? What have you got here?
I've been saying mine.
Yeah, come on. Who got here?
I've been listening. Well, I've got mine written down. That way, I'm letting you guys say it first, so you're not influencing my decision.
We're not sneaking.
Oh, we're not trying to sneak your points, though. Yeah, right.
Which is why I announced Katina's as soon as I can, so hoping that'll convince you one way or another.
Moving right along.
Katina's gone the Bulls.
Right.
The John, foolish girl. John, coming up a loss
what are you,
away.
What are you
going? Oh, the Chiefs.
She's thrown her bloody rules away there. Rules. Travelling team away from home.
Chiefs off a win.
Chiefs off a win at home. What's going on?
I'm going the Chiefs.
She obviously thinks she knows what she's doing by now.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
Blues versus Stormers in Auckland.
Gotta be the Blues.
Yeah, Blues for me.
Alright, that makes all of us Blues.
Too crafty for those Stormers.
Okay, Brumbies versus Cheetahs in Canberra. Anybody want to disown themselves? And
boring game. It's going to be dull, isn't it? You know, Cheetahs to try and slow the game down no end, because that's where the Brumbies excel.
Slowing the game down.
Oh, yeah, and Sterling back. Re-signed.
Re-signed.
Yeah, it'll give the boys a bit of a boost.
You honestly think they'd care?
Well, $1 million, mate. Maybe he's bought a round.
Yeah. Or two. No, I think he's old ladies.
Is the git back? I think the git's back this week, isn't
yeah,
it? Well?
Yeah, yeah. The git is back this week.
I just can't see the cheaters. There's a possibility because they could rumble through the Brumbies underperforming forwards, but I don't think it's going to happen.
The Brumbies forwards have been solid, but not...
They've been insufficiently spectacular
at times. That's right. Okay, I'm with Brumbies as well.
That's all four of us going to the Brumbies again.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, the toughest game, the hardest game to pick. Forget Crusaders versus Waratahs. Cats versus Reds in Johannesburg. Yeah. All the rules of tipping converge on the two teams. You never tip.
Oh,
like
almost
go the Cats
for home team. Oh, no, there's a chance that Andre Pretorius could be back for the Cats this week.
And the Reds have no Cordingley.
Stephen Moore, although Sean Hardman did have a good game
as
a replacement.
And I think Rodzilla is going to struggle in South Africa where similar monsters of his ilk are found.
I think the mullet will carry him through.
The mullet as opposed to the skinhead.
Skinhead and beard, I think I'll put my faith in the mullet.
So you're going the Reds, are you?
Dirtier.
You're going the Reds, are you?
I am indeed going the Reds.
I'm tipping the Cats.
John Boy's going the Cats.
Yeah.
Timbo?
This is like the other end of the spectrum, isn't it?
Yeah.
Expect to see a mistake-riddled, dirty-ass game. McManaman? Is McManaman still out? This is what the problem we've been tip on Monday nights.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have time to download the podcast.
This is a toss a coin one. I'm going to go with the Cats as well.
I'm going to the Cats. This is my big chance.
This is my big chance
for the Reds to come through and actually do it for me like they did last week.
I should tip the Reds, just so you don't get ahead of me.
Nah, you've already written them down.
I can change it. It's not too late.
And that's boys and girls is why I don't tell them my tips.
And on that happy, happy note, I think we should bid you all good night and thank you for listening.
And adieu. We'll catch you all next week.
See ya.
Good night.